Some people drop it in that black hole. They'll never see it again. I guess it's not even a private joke anymore. Picked on him so many times. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Excuse me for clearing my voice. I'll be doing that, I'm sure. Maybe coughing a little bit along the way, so if you get up here and get close and get the drippings from the sanctuary, you might catch it. I hope not. I hope I don't give it to anybody. I hope I'm completely through with it, but still have a little time breathing. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, and this is the first half of the verse. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you know our needs this morning. And you know how frail we are, how weak and how wicked, how foolish. Lord, we'd ask that you would take your word and by the Holy Spirit apply it to every heart that's here. If there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, I ask, Lord, that you would especially touch them with the knowledge of your salvation. I pray for every child of God in this room. Draw us closer to yourself. Make us wiser. Help us, Lord, to live a better testimony in front of this world. And I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That is God's great invitation word given in the 7th chapter of Genesis before the flood. The word come. Amen. Jesus uses it over and over again, and we're going to find it throughout the Bible in the book of Revelation in the very last chapter of the Bible. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Let him that heareth say come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Look back at chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The first thing I'd like to talk to you about was verse 5. Think with me a little bit about verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's a long time ago. We're talking at least 4,000 years ago. We're talking a long time. And he said that there was such wickedness in the earth and every imagination of his thoughts. They didn't have a camera to take a picture. They couldn't show pornography. They didn't have a computer to pass it on. They didn't have a television to pass it on. They didn't have movie houses to pass it on. They didn't have the printing press and all of the things that we have today in the same way to pass it on. Books were a very expensive item. Very few people had them. They didn't have the internet. And yet it said, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God was so disgusted with his creation, God was so disgusted with this sin, that he said, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man. And he did. He not only promised to destroy man, he did destroy man. He left 8 people alive and a seed of all of the animals. And yet what we're talking about here, God was disgusted with his creation. But a beautiful verse, verse 8. But Noah found grace.
Thank you, Lord.
In the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
Grace. I'm thankful for grace.
Amen.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a much more righteous man than those around him. He lived a much better life. God gave him an invitation. And with this invitation, it was something for him to do. He was to build an ark. He's going to build a great big barge, longer than a football field, 3 stories high. And he's going to preach for 120 years. You get discouraged sometime? Some of you soul winners and witnesses, you get discouraged sometime? Not everybody listening to your call right now, you're not seeing a lot of souls saved. Everybody's not interested in coming to hear you. Well, think about Noah. He preaches 120 years, only gets 8 souls. Some of you, if you'd save your family, get your family saved, you'd have 8. Danny, you'd have more. Me too. You know what? Wickedness that God despised was around 4,000 years ago, and the wickedness was so bad, God decided, I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. And he gave this invitation to Noah. I wrote down a few things I wanted to bring up. I want you to think about that invitation. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. It was from the Lord. I mean, it wasn't just from a neighbor or a friend or somebody down the road or some crackpot or some fanatic or some religious person or some righteous person. It was from the Lord. The invitation, come thou and thy house into the ark, was an invitation from God. Another thing, it was a call for Noah to do something. You know, he told him to do. Now, I hear people there once. Well, I've had them. Some of you might be doing it. You're always telling us to do something. They don't like to go to church because you tell us we've got to do something.
You tell us we ought to give.
Amen.
We ought to pray.
That's right. Amen.
We ought to come.
Amen.
Howie? Good to see you, huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. Glad you're back. Always tell us to do something. Well, what God's doing in this great invitation, you know what He's telling them? Come on into the ark.
Amen.
Come on into the ark. He's telling them to do something. And by the way, He spent 120 years not just preaching, He spent 120 years building one great big barge. He was to come into the ark to stay. He wasn't going back out. Once He made that decision to come into the ark, and everybody that made the decision to come into the ark with Him, they weren't going back out.
Amen.
There wasn't no come in when it starts looking like rain and coming back out when the sunshine comes back out. You come into the ark, and that ark was to be your home. That ark was to be your salvation. That ark was to be what saved you and brought you out.
That's right. Amen.
Come in to stay.
Amen.
He was to bring all His house. He wasn't going to leave anyone out. He was to bring all His house. Come thou and thy house. Oh, I tell you what a tragedy if He had to leave one. You think about that? What a hurt it is to lose one. You don't want any of your family lost. You don't want any of your family to not make it. You don't want any of your family to not hear the invitation and not come.
Amen.
What dad or what mother, what brother or what sister, what son or what daughter would not want all the house to come? And you know something interesting about this? He and all His obeyed.
Amen.
He got them all.
That's right. Amen.
He got them all. He and all His obeyed, and it was the greatest event of His life. The greatest event of His life. He was 600 years old when He went into the ark. And He lived a couple of hundred years after that. The greatest event of His life was being led into that ark, and it changed everything. The world wasn't the same when He come out. He made the move. He made the decision to go into the ark. And His life would never be the same. I want to bring that updated just a little bit. You know what God saw back in Noah's day? He saw a wicked, wicked world. You know what we got today? We got a wicked, wicked world. The new little iPods that they're selling and the new little phones that they're selling. So little and so much computer in them. And I heard the other day somebody said, oh, what a great method of transferring pornography. On that little iPod, you can have all sorts of pornographic film and you can load it right off the internet, right down from your computer. Thought it was bad before? Back in my day, when I was a kid, you had to take a picture and print it and pass them out. Not today. The internet's a beautiful thing. Computers are a beautiful thing. Television's a beautiful thing. Radio and telephone. Why, we live in a wonderful world. How many voices are in this room right now? They're passing through this room right now. Thousands of voices. Radios and people speaking. Some of the guys preaching somewhere down the line and all sorts of ball games being played. They're all in here. All you need is a receiver. You just get the right receiver, you get every one of them right in here. Before we had a computer to do the books and everything on the church, Verlin and I used to spend 3 days taking care of missionaries and the church's work. 3 days a month, both of us. We do it in 3 hours now. Brian about the same time, me about the same time, about 3 hours apiece. And the church and LKA and the books and the missionaries, things are done. That's a tremendous help. The internet. I remember one time when the banks were closed in Mexico. Our missionaries had no money. It's illegal to take over $10,000 out of the country in cash. But I had $16,000 on my legs, in my socks, hung up everywhere I could find it, driving to Mexico because they couldn't get any money. Before the internet, write a letter to Poland. Take a month to get there. And with Brent, take a month to answer it. And then a month to get back to me. You want an answer for something you have, and it took 3 months to get back one little question. Now then, it's just like that. And with all the good that they do, and all the things we can think about them, how wonderful they are, and how what a time saver they are, what a blessing they are, look at the corruption. Look at the garbage. Look at the spread of it. It's spreading so fast, it's an infection on the whole world. An absolute infection. You think God was disgusted then? What do you think He is now?
Amen.
What do you think He is now? Well, let me tell you something. That rainbow I saw the other night, other afternoon, most beautiful rainbow I ever saw in my life, the clearest I ever saw. And when I tried to show it to anybody but Verlene, why, you'd get in the wrong angle or something. It wasn't quite as beautiful. But boy, what I saw was something else. That bow said God would never destroy the earth by water again. No, this time it's going to be by fire. That didn't say He's not going to destroy the earth. He's going to destroy the earth. He's going to get it done. And it won't be by water. It'll be by fire. It's going to be the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And as God had decided to destroy that old earth, God has already decided to destroy this one. Take a real good look around you. It is not going to be. You got things you're hanging on to? I got too many hats. I got too many shorts. I got too many socks. I got too many clothes. I got too much everything. Don't you? We have such riches and such abundance, and we don't feel we need God. And we want to satisfy our pleasures. We don't have anybody telling us no, Brother Brian. Don't anybody telling us, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that. We want to do what we want to do, and what feels good, that's what we want to do. What satisfies my lust or satisfies my pleasure, that's what I want to do. Don't tell me no, don't tell me it's wicked. But God did.
Amen.
God has.
That's right.
And God has found this generation wicked. I know if it disgusts me as wicked as I am, what must it do to God? I'm disgusted.
That's right. Amen.
And if someone who is so into sin as I am, I'm a sinner. You don't have to prove to me that I'm a sinner and need a Savior. I am a sinner. I knew that way back when. Nobody had to take the Bible and go through verse after verse after verse and try to get me to admit that I'd sinned. I knew I was a sinner. Bless your heart, this generation ought to know it's a sinner, except it's changed the terms.
Right.
Homosexuality is not a sin. It's just another lifestyle. Well, that's a nice way to put it. But I'll bet you God doesn't accept your definition.
That's right. Amen.
I just heard of a preacher being arrested in Canada because he preached that homosexuality was a sin and they use it as a hate crime. And arrested him. What happens up there, what happens on the East Coast and the West Coast is going to come to us before long. When I was growing up, a homosexual didn't let many people know about it.
That's right.
Because I'll tell you what, just right away somebody would beat him up, a gang would beat him up and throw him out of the town. And the police wouldn't do a thing about it. But that's not this generation. That's not this generation. You just spank your child. Just spank your child and you're liable to be under control of the government. We're living in a time where they call evil good and good evil. They've changed the terms. They've changed the names. And by changing the terms and the names and the laws, all of a sudden we're the outlaws. You preach the Bible. You believe the Word of God. You believe in God. You believe in the return of the Lord. You believe there is such a thing as absolute truth. You believe there is such a thing as real salvation. Bless your heart, you're different. Wickedness in this world is multiplied by the thousands of times. I look at that when I read that in Genesis chapter 6 and I think of how all the wickedness must be and with so little means of communication. And look what we've got. We have the greatest means of communication that the world has ever known. Used to be telegraph, telephone, and telewoman. Now it's got a lot more than that. Goes a lot faster than that. The wickedness of the world was great and God had decided judgment. Well, let me tell you something. God, in His grace, made an ark. He commissioned a man by His grace, a man by the name of Noah. I don't know whether Noah was a carpenter before this or a shipbuilder before this, but he became one. Now, he wasn't really on the fast track. It took him 120 years. But when you think about what he did, that might be a real accomplishment. And by the way, that was grace too. Because during that 120 years, he was preaching.
Amen.
He was preaching for others to come into the ark.
Amen.
Others to come with him. Others to hear the message. Others to know judgment is coming. God's going to destroy this earth. Come with me. Come into the ark with me. Believe. Nobody did. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, eight souls, entered into that ark. I want you to know that today the ark of salvation is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the ark of salvation. And I want you to know that God's great invitation is still going out and it's the same word, come.
Amen.
You've got to do something. You have to come into the ark.
Right.
You have to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to understand the judgment that's coming in the future is just the same as the one at the past, except with a different method. The judgment is going to be on all men. The judgment's going to be because of sin. And there's only a Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the only ark. There was but one ark for Noah and his family and for the whole world at that time. There wasn't any two or three or four or five or all roads lead to anywhere. There was one ark. And if you didn't get into that ark and were shut in by God, you were going to die. I want you to understand, in the judgment of God that's coming upon the face of the earth, there's just one ark.
Amen.
It's not whether this church is good or that church is bad or that church is good and this church is bad or we're better than you. You better be in Jesus.
That's right.
It doesn't make any difference what church it is or whether there is one at all. You better be in the ark, and the ark is Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. Very famous verse. Very familiar verse. John 14, 6. Pardon me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to know, I don't care how liberal you may be, how kind you may be, if you simply read that verse and let it stand as it's written, you come to a conclusion that there is one way, one truth, and one life, and nobody gets to the Father by means of Mary. Nobody comes into the presence of Almighty God by the means of Muhammad. Nobody comes into the presence of God by Buddha. Nobody comes into the presence of God by being good.
That's right.
Nobody comes into the presence of God by being a member of a church. Nobody comes into the presence of God by being baptized in water. Nobody. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's Christ. The only ark of safety, the only ark of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name. There is no other way. There is no other opportunity. No matter how many offered, this is the only one that works. Destruction's coming. God has determined the destruction. You look around, you see the wickedness growing. You see that it's just spread, that it goes to everybody. Not a select few. Almost anybody and everybody can get on a computer or get around a television or a movie screen, or books are just published by the... I can buy you a good King James Bible with a little bit of small print for a dollar. And I pay a little more for mine so I can read a little better. But it's out there and it's cheap, and if they can do a Bible like that, they can do the other things too. And it's published over and over and over again, and every one of you run across it. You got a computer? It'll pop up on there without you ever asking for it. And you better not decide to get into it, because that garbage that's on there can cause an addiction like gambling, like drinking, like anything else. By the way, if there's any kind of program that says a certain name anonymous, you better leave it alone. You better not be one, because some people are out there and they're hooked. You say, well, that's never going to get me. That's what they said too. I've dealt with a lot of drunks in my life, and they will sit there and tell me, I'm not drunk, and I'm not a drunk, I'm not an alcoholic, I can control it. There's a bunch of them in jail that thought they could control it. There's a bunch of them been in car wrecks and killed, thought they controlled it. I'm interested in the idea of the designated driver. When you get drunk, are you going to let anybody tell you what to do? There's a problem with that. It's nice, okay? We're all going to go get drunk except one. And that one's going to be the driver. Until you get drunk and say, it's my car, I'm going to do what I please. If you want to go home, you go home with me. How many drunks do you find that are real pliable? How many dope addicts do you find that are real understanding and reasonable? You don't.
Amen.
They're hooked. They're under it. They're under the influence of it. I want you to know, and this just may be an old man and his prejudice, but if you're following a whole lot of these trends and styles, you're following demon spirits in high places.
That's right.
It is absolutely stupid.
Amen.
I walk by the mall and hear these clothes that I would throw away.
Yeah. That's right.
And I said, how much do you want for those? He said, $125. Let me fit you out in a pair. And I said, man, when mine look like that, I put them in the trash.
That's right.
I don't even take them to Goodwill. And I'm walking down the mall and hear these chic ladies, 25, 35, 45 years old, and they're walking down with very expensive shoes and very expensive jewelry and holes in their jeans. My mother wouldn't let me out of the house with something like that. Hey, and I'm just laughing about that because that's laughable. We got a lot of other trends. If the world loves it, wake up.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't.
Amen.
This world is not on the same plane as the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that is very popular with the world and with the in people and with the cool people probably is not of God. Probably it's against God. People walk around with fish hooks hanging out of their mouth. Put extra holes in their nose. My nose leaks bad enough with two holes. I don't need any extra holes in my nose. Men walking around with hair look like women, ugly women. All of these things, that's part of the wickedness of this world, and it's not of God. God may save you in spite of it, but He doesn't save you because of it. He said, I am the way, the truth, the way, the truth. No man. Boy, that's an exclusive statement. There is one ark of salvation, one ark of safety, one way to miss the destruction and gain heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, another verse for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, that's the conclusion. You can read the chapter before and find out how he proved it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To it, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, that's me, that's you, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh man, what a clear gospel. You may not want to be so hard as to take such a sharp stand, but then that puts you wrong with God. I'm sorry. It's either Christ or nothing. And it's all Christ, and everything else is a waste. You know why? Because God took the sinless one and made him to be sin in your place, that you might be dressed in the righteousness of God. That's what it says there. He's given us a ministry. I'm an ambassador. I'm not the Christ. I just speak for him. I'm not the Christ. I just serve him. And like John said, I'm just his servant. I'm just his forerunner. And I'm not fit to take his shoes off. I'm not fit to be the little maid that washes the feet of the guest of the house. I'm not fit to even do that. And if John the Baptist would say that, what are you? But oh, what a privilege of grace we have to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Did you know that an ambassador is the highest representative of one government to another government in the world? That's what the ambassador is. In fact, many times when the ambassador signs his name on a treaty, it's the same as a president signing his name. Isn't that something? I'm an ambassador, and I'm offering you terms of reconciliation.
Amen.
I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I magnify my office. I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I come to tell you that He's died in your place and paid for your sins. He'll save your soul if you would come to Him. And you know what? Jesus Christ will honor this word.
Amen.
He'll honor that word. We're ambassadors with the word of reconciliation, telling a lost and dying world, judgment is coming, and it is coming. It may come to you today. You may walk out of here, happy as can be, heading to get a nice steak at some place today, just going to have a wonderful time, and a Big Mac truck come down the road and send you right into judgment. Or salvation. Depends on whether you're saved or not. In Christ. Not in the church. In Christ. Not in good works. In Christ. Do you know that Christ paid your debt? Do you know that He is the ark of God? Do you know that He's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? Then the invitation word is for you too, my friend. Come. The last book. Look at the last chapter of your Bible. The last chapter of your Bible. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. What was that word in chapter 7, verse 1? Genesis. Come. God's great invitation word is still going out. He's saying, come. And let him that heareth. I'm one of those that heard. Say, come. That's what I'm saying. I've been saying it for almost 50 years. Come. And then look at this. Whosoever will.
Amen.
Whosoever will. Let him take the water of life freely.
Amen.
Whosoever will. That means me.
Thank you.
One day he said, come. I said, he really means it? I'm going to come. And I came to Christ. It was the greatest experience of my life.
Amen.
When Noah entered that ark and God shut the door on him and shut him up to Christ. Shut him up to that ark. Whatever happened to that ark, what's going to happen to Noah? It was but a picture of the salvation you and I enjoy today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. The Spirit says, come. The Bride says, come. Whosoever will, let him come. And you come unto Christ, and you're shut up alone to Christ. No one else. Not the church, not good works, not Mary, not Buddha, not Mohammed, Christ. It's that exclusive, my friend. I don't care if you don't like it, that's just because you don't believe the Bible.
That's right.
If you believe the Bible, it'll make you a fanatic, it'll make you exclusive.
Amen.
He said, I'm the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way. There's just one way. Come unto me, whosoever will, let him come. And when you come unto Christ, you're shut into Him. And it's a life-changing experience. When you come out on the other side, it's not going to be like it was before. If your experience with Christ is just a church membership and a baptism and a little of this and a little of that, you missed it.
That's right.
When I came to Christ, He changed my life. He changed my future, my destiny. He took away my sin. And though I'm still a sinner, He made me hate my sin.
Amen.
Though I'm lazy, He makes me hate my laziness.
Right.
Though I'm weak, He makes me hate my weakness. And I've lived a life of repentance. I'm continually repenting. I don't know about you. You may feel good every day. Oh, I feel like I miss out day after day after day. When I preached my sermon, done the best I know how to do, I'll walk away saying, could I have done better? Should I have done better? Should I have did it longer? Should I have given a longer invitation? Should I have said another word? Never is good enough. Oh, but I wouldn't go back to what I had for anything in the world.
Amen.
Because being shut up to Christ is the great experience of my life. Nothing to equal it. My friends, they laughed at me and said, oh, you'll be back with us in a couple of weeks. You got a bad dose of religion. That was 48 and a half years ago. 48 and a half years. It's getting better. I'm happier today than I was then. I've been shut up to Christ 48 and a half years. How long have you been? Are you? Are you shut up to Christ? Is Christ your only hope?
Amen.
He's my only hope. This Bible's my truth against everything else. The one I'm holding in my hand, by the way. I'm not talking about some Greek library back at home. I'm talking about this book I got in my hand right here. That's my truth. And I'll go to the judgment seat of Christ with this one. And I'm talking about an old King James Bible, by the way.
Amen.
But if you ever believed any one of the others that you had, you'd probably do pretty well.
That's right.
But just switching from one to the other, whatever you like, whatever you think, and discarding whatever you don't like, whatever you don't, you're on shaky ground.
That's right.
This old book said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
But he also said, let the church say it, that's the bride. But everybody here say it. That's you. That's me. And whosoever will. Will you? Will you? You got to do something. You know what? Noah had to do something. God, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but Noah had to do something. He had to build an ark. And then when God called him 120 years later, he had to go in. Shut himself off from everyone else and everything else. He was shut in the ark to the fate of the ark. What about you? Whosoever will. Will you? Whosoever will. What a great invitation. I wrote my name in there. If it says whosoever will, it must mean me. It means you. It means you. If you will, you can come to Christ. You can be shut in to Him alone for your salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
Never again trust yourself, trust your family, trust your friends, trust your heritage, trust your race, trust your school, trust your anything. Just Christ.
Amen.
We're going to sing number 249. Stand with me.